First Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Thank you, Father, this morning for your word, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. We pray that our meditation upon it might be helpful to us as you teach us by your Spirit the ways in which we should walk, that it might be the instrument of causing this morning a lost sinner to cast his gaze upon the resurrected Savior and come to know life eternal in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Compassionate evangelism. A woman who was not a Christian on one occasion went out of curiosity to hear a well-known preacher. Her husband had not wanted to go, and so he stayed home. When she arrived back home after the meeting, her husband said to her, "Well, how was the meeting?" And she said, "It was interesting." But she said, "On the way out, a man stopped me at the door and asked me if I was a Christian." And her husband said, "Did you tell him to mind his own business?" And the wife said, "If you could have seen the look in his eyes, you would have thought that he was minding his own business." And I think this is the kind of man the Apostle Paul was. We read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved." And in Romans chapter 9 and verses 1 to 3, Paul says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." We see that Paul had a heart for the people to whom God was calling him to preach, and for his own people, the Jews. He was a preacher of the gospel with a compassion for the lost. And as we look at this portion of Scripture here, we find Paul explains a little bit about his compassion. And Paul, first of all, warns us that there is a false compassion. In verse 5, Paul says, "For neither at any time used we flattering words." The first kind of false compassion is that of flattering words. In other words, we have here Paul referring to the attempts by means of words to influence someone else for personal advantage. Flattering words to seek to gain a positive response. We have an example of that in Scripture. In Acts chapter 24 and verses 1 to 3, we have Tertullius the orator, who was out to get a decision. And after 5 days, Annas the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullius. He was a Jew, and he was out to get Paul's life, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullius began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness." What he was doing was just buttering him up. Felix himself knew that the Jews hated him. They hated the Roman government over them. But Tertullius was out for a decision against Paul. And so he began with flattering words. And Paul says, "When we came to preach the gospel to you, it was not at any time with flattering words. Paul was not out to win their decision. Paul was out to preach the gospel to them. And I really believe that preaching the love of God is flattery. I don't believe that the love of God is the gospel. For example, we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 to 3, Paul explaining to us what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he gives testimonies of the resurrection of Christ. In other words, the gospel is the death of Christ for sinners and his burial and resurrection from the dead. That's what the gospel is. And then as Paul continues in Acts chapter 17, and it's his coming back again to judge those who refuse to be in submission to him. You say, well, what about John 3:16? Doesn't it say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Yes, it does. Praise God. But the message is that he gave his Son. The motivation is that he loved the world. We don't preach the motivation, we preach the message. The message that he gave his Son. The message is the death and resurrection and ascension and coming again of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we read, God manifested his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so his love is manifested in giving Christ to die for our sins. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested the love of God, because he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. And so the sending of the Son to die for our sins is the gospel message. The motivation, the reason why God did it, was because of love. It wasn't out of any merit on our part. It was out of love on his part. And so the message that we preach is that God sent his Son to die and rise and ascend and return to judge. And the motive is love. And we'll see a little bit more about this later on in the message. Secondly, Paul says, false compassion is not only flattering words. False compassion is concealed greed. False compassion. Paul says, we did not use flattering words, and we did not use a cloak of covetousness. There was no concealed greed there. And this was in contrast to the philosophers of the day who went around preaching their philosophies, and the bigger the crowd, the better the offering, the bigger the salary. And you know, preachers can fall into that same trap, and there's the danger of seeking to build the church as a ladder of success rather than faithfulness in preaching the gospel message, no matter what the consequences might be. And it's very possible for a man to have his eyes full of tears pleading with God for a full church. Not because he has a compassion for souls, but because there's the wounded pride that is making him sorrowful. Now, that's not necessarily so, but that is a possibility. And so Paul says we were careful about that, that when we came to you, we did not use flattering words, and we did not have a covetousness that was covered over, so that our compassion was not what it seemed to be. Our compassion was not that God would make us successful apostles. Our compassion was that we wanted to see you come to the Savior. And so Paul's motivation was not to be a successful apostle, but to fulfill the command of Christ to take the gospel to the lost. And we need to examine our hearts if our compassion is real or if it's just a cover over for greed, a coveting of success. And thirdly, Paul says, as he came to them, his compassion was not a false compassion in that he desired human glory. He did not desire human glory from them or from others. He said, we neither of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, He did not desire just to make them dedicated to himself. He didn't want to just be their big cheese, their ringleader. The Pharisees loved the salutations in the marketplace, Rabbi, Rabbi. Paul says, as the apostles of Christ, we had a right to demand your following, but we did not use that right, and that was not our motivation. We did not desire glory from you. We didn't desire the glory in that you would be our followers, nor from other men. We didn't go preaching the gospel in Thessalonica that other men might say, didn't Paul do a great job there in Thessalonica? My, he really preached up a storm there, didn't he? That wasn't his motivation. He said our motivation was not a false compassion. And this is a very real danger. As, you know, as we read the last letter that Paul wrote, his very last epistle, and as we read through it, we don't find where Paul says, well, I finished my course. That's what he said, I finished my course. But he didn't say, by God's grace, of course you have to say that because otherwise it would sound like pride. I was able to build 15 churches, start 15 churches. I had 3,975 decisions. We passed out 9,000 tracts, and five churches doubled their budget, and two of them are in building programs. Now, there's nothing wrong with doubling your budget. Lord willing, we wouldn't mind doubling our budget. There's nothing wrong with building programs. There's nothing wrong with passing out tracts. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. But Paul says these were not our motivation. We were not out after human glory. And these things may be fine, but the fact is they can be a false compassion. It can be a love for human glory rather than genuine compassion. And there is genuine compassion. And that's what Paul next tells us about. Paul says as he went there to Thessalonica, we find that he says, we were gentle among you. There was a gentleness and a mildness in Paul's manner with them. He didn't come on hard with pressures. There was a gentleness and a mildness, like a nursing mother and her own baby, a tenderness. Paul says, we didn't come on hard and strong and harsh, pressuring you to be our followers, pressuring you into deciding for God. We didn't come on hard and strong. We brought the gospel message and we were gentle, letting the Spirit of God do the work in your heart to make sure that it was genuinely a work of the Spirit of God. We were gentle among you. Secondly, he says, we were loving among you. In verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you. And in the last part, because you were dear unto us. And the word dear, there's the word beloved. You were beloved of us. And we were affectionately desirous of you. And you knew that we were concerned for you. Even though we did not pressure you in any way, you knew that we were concerned for you. And so his method was loving them, showing them the God's love by loving them. And the genuine compassion then of gentleness and love. And this genuine compassion then was Paul's scriptural approach. Genuine compassion is gentle, it is loving, and it is scriptural. Paul says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls or our own lives. Everything we were willing to give everything to you, our entire beings, because you were dear to us. And so Paul said, as we went to preach with genuine compassion, we not only set forth the gospel message, but we were willing to be or do anything for you to show you how concerned we were for your soul. And so there is a genuine compassion that is gentle and loving. Now, the message then is the gospel. God's message to us is the gospel message that Christ died and rose again. The method is, or the motivation rather, is compassion. God so loved the world that he sent. And God's love through us demonstrates God's motivation in sending his son. And the message is that he sent his son. Now some might say, now Paul, why are you all stirred up? In chapter 1 and verse 4, you already said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And so, if God elects his own, what are you all concerned about? What are you all stirred up about? You're talking as if you thought you were doing the converting. Paul says, no. Just as they said to Carey, sit down, young man. When God wants to save the heathen, he'll do it without your help or mine. And Carey didn't say this, I don't think, but I think he could have thought it. That's fine, but I just want to be there when it happens. And so Paul, in verse 4 of chapter 1, he had taught them the scriptural doctrine of election. But in chapter 2 and verse 8, he demonstrates the genuine compassion that he had for them. And so the question is, if God elects, why compassion? But we see that this is because there is a whole gospel, and that gospel is not only the message, but the motivation. And this is seen also in the fact that the gospel message is made up of two parts. The gospel message deals with the sovereignty of God. There we have election. And it also deals with the responsibility of man. And there we have repentance and belief and faith. And this is the whole gospel message. This is the entire gospel that God has given to us. And we cannot separate those two things. Spurgeon faithfully proclaimed both the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. He was faithful in proclaiming the whole message of the gospel. And so we must preach the whole gospel. And we see this in Scripture many places. For example, notice in John chapter 6, if you'd like to turn to your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, one that is many times referred to, for example, is verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. These are ones the Father gives. Here you have election. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Here we have the coming to him, the responsibility of man. Man's responsibility before God. And the same thing in verses 39 and 40. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing. Here you have that the Father has given to the Son. And so you have here election. And in verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me. Notice you have a repetition of the same thing. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Here you have the whosoever will. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so we have here the whole gospel. And interestingly, Jesus begins both verses the very same way. This is the will of the Father. This is the will of the Father. And so the will of the Father is that he chose his own. And the will of the Father is that men repent and believe the gospel. And so you have here the whole gospel. And it's very important that we preach the whole gospel. And Paul preached the whole gospel. And we are commanded by Christ to preach the whole gospel in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. Jesus tells his disciples to go and make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Not half, but all. Everything. John chapter 6 and verse 39 and John chapter 6 and verse 40. Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27 says to the Ephesians, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. And in verse 27 of Acts chapter 20, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, Paul didn't say that he explained to them all the counsel of God, because you cannot explain all the counsel of God. There are many things in Scripture we take by faith. We cannot explain all the counsel of God any more than we can explain all the person of God. But we can believe all the counsel of God. And in a matter of a few weeks, we find that Paul here in the city of Thessalonica, in just a few weeks, had taught the believers there the sovereign election of God and also the solemn responsibility of man. Now, this is important. Understanding God's election helps protect us from false compassion. Flattering words, concealed greed, human glory, we're protected from that by the truth of God's election. God chooses His own. What purpose would flattering words have? God is choosing His own. And so flattering words, concealed greed, and human glory, they go out. It's my protection against that. Understanding man's responsibility helps us to be gentle and loving and to impart to men not only the gospel message but our own lives also. If all we had were election, then we would become hardened like those who said to Carrie, you know, sit down, God will do it when He wants to. No. They forgot half the gospel. And Paul says, I not only gave you the message of salvation, but our own souls as well. Because understanding man's responsibility helps us to be gentle and loving and to impart the whole gospel. And so election protects us from salesmanship, and responsibility protects us from indifference. Listen to Spurgeon as he pleads with men. Come now, man, mortal man, so near your end. Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And because I will do this, consider your ways. Come now. Oh, that I had power to send home this invitation to your heart. But it must be left in the Master's hands. Yet if a concerned heart could do it, how would I plead with you? Sinner, is hell so pleasant that you just have to go there? Is heaven such a trifle that you don't even mind missing it? Is the wrath of God that abides on you not sufficient reason to strive to escape it? Is not a perfect pardon worth having? Is the precious blood of Christ worthless? Is it nothing to you that the Savior should die? Are you a fool? If indeed you must play the fool, play it with your silver and gold, but not with your soul. Shall we pray? Perhaps someone here this morning has been playing the fool and putting off God. We would deliver unto you the gospel message that Christ died for sinners. And we would exhort you to flee from the wrath to come and find in Christ a perfect and all-sufficient Savior from your sin. Thank you, Father, for the gospel message. We pray that by your grace we might always preach the whole gospel, that we might always present the whole counsel of God, that we might not hold back anything that would be of value, that we might teach men all things whatsoever Christ has taught us in His Word, and that we might have the joy of seeing sinners come to the Savior, not because they have been flattered by us, nor pressured by us out of desire to glory in them, but that the Spirit of God has applied to their hearts the message of the gospel that Christ saves sinners and takes them to heaven to be with Him forever. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.